This is the Red Sox Precap with your hosts, Keaton DeRocher and Shelley Verstrait. Part of the Over the Monster Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap, the podcast from the Over the Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the series that just ended and preview the series that's about to kick off here for the Boston Red Sox. I'm your host, Keaton DeRocher, joined as always by Shelley Verstrait. Shelley, not exactly the start you're looking for the Red Sox so far.
Not at all. It's like the complete opposite of what I expected from this opening weekend. But yay, baseball.
Yeah, we will dive all into that series there for the Red Sox and Orioles, probably be the majority of today's quick little podcast for you. But before we dive into that, the presenting sponsor of today's episode is Fifth Element. Fifth Element is ultra-high milligram CBD focused on relief and recovery after a workout. They are specially designed for people with an active lifestyle, from weekend warriors to professional athletes to bucket list gym enthusiasts. Fifth Element, also known as 5E, is full-spectrum high milligram hemp to help you whenever, wherever you need it, whether it's after the gym or after work. Get yours today, feel better tomorrow, by visiting 5ehemp.com and use the code MONSTER to get 50% off. Yes, you heard that right. 50%, half off. That's 5ehemp.com and use the code MONSTER. Go to 5ehemp.com, get 50% off. That's the number 5, the letter E, hemp.com. Alrighty, Orioles. Not a great start. Sox dropped all three. However, I do feel like there is some nice takeaways here. And I'm not ready to panic yet. Although it was really hard not to just be like, great, 2020 all over again. But first matchup, Nathan Eovaldi, John Means. What did you see here from this game? Obviously, the Red Sox dropped it 3-0. But Eovaldi went through 5 1/3, gave up 1 run, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk. He actually looked pretty good. Not a bad start. Just John Means was untouchable.
Yeah. I mean, John Means, with that changeup, he was just, honestly, like you just said, he was untouchable. He was really, really good. But I really did like what I saw from, you know, Eovaldi. You know, he was able, again, like the strikeouts weren't there, but he was able to get those outs where we needed. So I was very encouraged with what I saw. And honestly, it's what I expected to see when he, you know, faced Baltimore. So I was just really happy with this outing. I just really wish those bats came through for us.
Yeah, that's basically the story of the entire series here. But when your starter pitches into the sixth, only giving up 1 run, 4 hits, well, that's a game you should probably win. So that's just hard luck on Eovaldi. John Means, you mentioned in the series preview of this Baltimore series that John Means was the guy that you were the most worried about, pretty much on the entire Orioles team. And I think he proved you right there. 5 strikeouts, 1 hit, no walks, and 7 innings. There was just not much that the offense could do there. Only 2 hits mustered for the Red Sox the very first batter of the game, and then they didn't have a hit again until the 6th inning, I think.
Yeah.
JD Martinez got himself a single, and that was it. So not a whole lot there. Game 2, again, a great outing here. The Red Sox dropped this game 4-2, but Houck, 5 innings, 8 strikeouts, 1 walk, 2 earned runs. It was a great debut. He just really picked up right where he left off at the end of 2020. It's not much to nitpick there, except just the bats kind of let you down again.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Houck absolutely surprised me, because when I saw that he, you know, was going to be filling in for Eduardo Rodriguez because he had to go on the IL with his did arm situation, I'm just like, okay. Yeah, I don't know really what to expect here, but he shocked me. You know, he had 8 strikeouts. That slider was absolutely lethal. It was just everything was working. You know, he got a bit of, you know, unlucky with like some really bad defense from Devers and unfortunately from Bogey as well. And it's just kind of like, yeah, it was more of just bad luck stuff, but he looked really, really sharp in his 2021 debut.
If he keeps this up, when Eduardo Rodriguez is ready to return, do you think he should remain in the starting rotation and kick someone like Pivetta to the bullpen? Or do you think that Hauk is going to end up in Worcester?
I will kind of pencil this to maybe we could talk about the next one. I need to see Pivetta versus Richards, which we saw today, versus Fair. Who needs to go to the bullpen.
Oh, man. So you're already putting Richards on the chopping block. That hurts. Although I can't really say I blame you. Matt Harvey was the pitcher for the Orioles who went through 4 2/3, allowed 2 runs on 6 hits, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. Red Sox bats a little bit more lively here, just couldn't get the runs pushed across. J.D. Martinez went 3 for 4 with an RBI. He has actually kind of had himself a series here, doing pretty much everything for the Red Sox bats. Then game three today was just the cherry on top of the sweep. The Red Sox dropped this one 11-3. Garrett Richards really struggled. Went 2 innings, gave up 6 earned, didn't record an out in the third. Got charged with a few extra runs there. Josh Taylor came in and allowed 4 runs in 2/3 of an inning. And then this one was over relatively quickly. Got to see some interesting arms follow in this game. Obviously, it was nice to just see guys like Whitlock, Sauramura, Barnes, and Ottavino get in there. And they all did relatively well. Whitlock, 3 1/3, 5 strikeouts. Really solid, kind of bailing out Richards and Taylor there. Sauramura, 2 walks but 2 strikeouts, didn't allow a hit or a run. Barnes had a nice clean inning. Ottavino, couple hits, a couple walks, couple strikeouts. He allowed 1 run. I don't know if there's much you can take away from the bullpen, but were you impressed with Whitlock?
100%. I mean, I really, really liked what I saw from him in spring. He looks really, really good. And then he comes out and just basically... just, you know, we just want you to go and see what you do. But he went longer than Garrett Richards and got 5 strikeouts, no walks, only 3 hits. He looked really sharp, really clean. I'm really hoping that we see more of Whitlock. I mean, I know that the team kind of views him as kind of like a long man, but I've liked what I've seen from him.
Yeah, Whitlock was warming up in the first inning here. Richards had given up 3 in the first, and Whitlock was warming up. Would you have, I mean, I guess it's easy to look at how this played out and think maybe they should have gone to Whitlock earlier. It's the first start of the season, though, so I think it's kind of hard to, you know, put too much on Richards. Obviously, I mean, you don't want to start like that, but were you surprised that they didn't go to Whitlock earlier? And would you have?
No and no. I really do. I know that this is like the third game of the season and, you know, it feels awful to just, you know, lose 3-2 to Baltimore, but I really do. Like, appreciate that, you know, the team tried to give Garrett Richards just some time to try to figure things out. But after, you know, the team saw that he just did not have it today, then they went on to a reliever, and then they went on to Whitlock. I totally get it. Obviously, that window is going to get shorter and shorter with my, you know, ability to be like, okay, yeah, we need to get Whitlock in here. But I understand what the team was doing there, even though I hated it when we were still getting, you know, slaughtered by, you know, Baltimore.
Yeah, I agree on both counts. I think it made more sense to bring Whitlock in. Well, I mean, after a lot more damage was done. But I think the intent was when Taylor came in was to close out the inning and then bring Whitlock in to start a fresh inning. And then Taylor's performance just kind of ended up forcing their hand on bringing Whitlock in earlier. But I, you know, pitchers are going to stumble. I'm not ready to, you know, throw all the marbles in on Richards yet, but it's hard to see a continuation of his struggles in spring training against this particular lineup. Tough. Bruce Zimmerman was who the Orioles pitched against Richards, who went 6 innings, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk, 4 hits, 3 earned runs. J.D. Martinez, again, solid day, 2-for-4. And circling back to what we talked about really about the first game, the bats not waking up yet really was the story of this series. They should have been able to get 2 wins off of the performances from Eovaldi and Houck. The bats stayed very quiet and only 6 runs in 3 games against the Orioles is not a great way to start your season. But that's also actually what kind of gives me hope. This lineup is much better than this, and I don't think it's going to take them long to turn it around. And if they continue to get outings from Eovaldi and Houck like they did, and Garrett Richards should be better than this, I think they're going to be okay. So that's why I'm not overreacting to this series yet, like we were. I don't know if we overreacted, but properly reacted to losing the series, opening series to Baltimore last year in 2020. So are you, I mean, J.D. Martinez, where it is, I had a tab of his stats. Here we go. He's hitting 500. 6 hits, 12 at-bats. He got a homer, 3 RBIs, 3 strikeouts. Whatever he needed to work through in spring training, he did. He looks great. I'm assuming that, Shelly, you are not concerned with the bats just like I am.
Yeah, I'm not really concerned as well. I mean, they looked really, really good in spring. They won a lot of spring training games, like all this stuff. And just seeing that JD is already locked in, I love it. I still believe in Devers. I still believe in Bogey. I still believe in Verdugo. I still believe in, you know, Kike Hernandez, Hunter Renfrow. I believe in all these guys. And I just honestly think that it's just kind of just a really cold streak. It has nothing really to do with Baltimore pitching. It's just kind of a really bad funk that all of our guys caught, you know, coming from Florida up to Maryland. I don't know what it is, but I still really do believe in these hitters, and I just think it's a really bad fluke that we will never ever talk about again.
Hopefully, because after the series, upcoming series with the Rays, which we'll transition to after a short break, we have another 3-game series with Baltimore. So they get a nice little do-over. So we'll be right back. Alrighty. Tampa Bay Rays up next. 3-game set. Pitching matchups, we have Nick Pivetta versus Michael Wacha, Tyler Glasnow versus Martin Perez, and Nathan Eovaldi coming back around versus Ryan Yarbrough. What do you think of these matchups here, and what are you kind of expecting from Pivetta and Perez here in their first starts of the season?
Yeah, this one's going to be kind of interesting. Pivetta has been kind of okay-ish during spring, and knowing that he's going up against Tampa Bay, that kind of scares me a bit, but then he's like facing off against Wacha, which I'm not scared of about, you know, like at all. This one could be kind of like an even match. But when it comes to Martin Perez and Tyler Glasnow,
Perez got the hose.
Yeah, that's like oil and vinegar right there with the type of pitching matchup there. So I'm kind of scared there. But you know, and then Eovaldi and Yarbrough, that should be a pretty interesting series. So I guess like the first and third game, I'm pretty interested about. That second game against Glasnow scares me to high heaven.
Yep. I feel the same. That one's tough. Pavetta and Waka, Waka's a far cry from his St. Louis years when he was kind of productive. Glasnow is probably in the consideration for Cy Young, so that's a tough draw for Perez. And then Eovaldi and Yarbrough. I think Eovaldi has a slight edge there when he's healthy. So it's going to be a fun series, assuming that the bats are there. Tampa Bay's lineup, Yoshi Sustugo, Austin Meadows, Renia Rosarena, Brandon Lowe, Yandy Diaz, Kevin Kramer, Manuel Margot, Willie Adames, and Mike Zunino. Pretty much similar to the lineup last year. Is no one that really like jumps off the page, but it's pretty deep and consistent, and they're going to score runs. So they'll have to contend with that. Right now, Austin Meadows is real hot. A couple homers, bunch of hits, and so is old friend Manny Margot, who is hitting 400, I believe. I lost the tab where I had their stats, so that's great. But where are they going to be the tough parts of this lineup here for the Red Sox pitchers to navigate?
Yeah, it definitely will be. Meadows is, killing it so far. Manny Margot is kind of like platooning in center with Kiermaier, so maybe we'll hopefully only hit, one game with, super hot Manny Margot. But, Randy Arozarena is also really interesting and really, just don't throw him fastballs and stuff like that. But this lineup for Tampa Bay is, I mean, there's not a lot of like super duper stars, but it's just, it's really, really deep all the way through. So yeah. All of our pitchers really have to be on point. Any hitter can really just get you, and just it can pile on. So it's a really, really tough lineup to get through.
Yeah, and where the Red Sox might have an opportunity to exploit this Rays team here, surprisingly, might be their bullpen. Three games is a small sample. However, 12 of the 16 runs they allowed in that three-game series with the Marlins were by the bullpen. The starters were typically sharp, and what is usually a very strong Tampa Bay bullpen has struggled so far. Are you kind of a bit down on this year's bullpen of Tampa? I know that we tend to talk about who might be the closer there quite often. And then Nick Anderson is hurt, so they're missing that piece, which, he's been hurt a lot recently, so they've been without him for a while. But do you think that this bullpen is going to, right the ship, and by the end of the year we're talking about one of the better bullpens in the league again? Or do you think there are some actual holes here where the Red Sox, if they can keep it close when they get past the starter, they have a shot?
I'm always scared about the Tampa bullpen, just basically because how they utilize it. I think Kevin Cash and the whole, front office is really, really smart and how they figure out how to make their bullpen work with whoever that they have there. So I am always scared of Tampa's bullpen. So,
yeah, I'm with you. It's going to be strong. Feels like a blip. But Red Sox are going to be in for a tough series. Should be a fun one to watch. Interesting pitching matchups. But that's going to do it for us. You can find both of us at overthemonster.com. Great website where we've participated in some roundtables and such. You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at The Spoken Keats. You can find Shelly at ShellyV643. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with a recap of this series and another preview of the Orioles later in the week. Thanks for listening.